Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
We continue our fall series, Master Keys to Your Growth. And so we're so very honored and privileged to have Brother John Branch with us tonight and his wife Gladys. Brother John's going to be speaking to us about being in the world but not of the world. And so Brother John began preaching at Northwest Church of Christ when I was 8. So he's been there for about 20 years. No, that's not right, is it? Just a wonderful man and a good gospel preacher. He's full of the Bible. You're going to really, really enjoy his preaching tonight. We're so very thankful. He has 2 children and 3 grandchildren, and God has blessed him, and he's going to be a blessing to us tonight.
Good evening to everyone. Certainly we are thankful to be here tonight. It's been a while since we've been here, since we've been living under these unparalleled times, unusual times. But we're just glad to be back tonight. I'm indebted to Brother Owens and Brother Colley and the leadership here, the elders, for having confidence in me to invite me again to be with you during your fall lecture series. I was here once before, and I certainly have enjoyed that. And certainly we've been with you before the pandemic on the 5th Sundays. So it's just good to be back. I do hope and trust that what I have to share with you tonight will be beneficial to all of us, and that it will indeed help us to be fit subjects for the kingdom, bring glory and honor to our Father who art in heaven. And as Brother Owen said, those who are visiting with us, we hope, pray that we can say something that might encourage you, especially if you are not a member of the Lord's church. This might encourage you to become one. And also all of us who are members, it might encourage us to continue to be faithful to our God. As it has been announced, my topic of exhortation and encouragement tonight is in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. I call your attention to 2 passages of Scripture that is recorded in John chapter 17, which is has the prayer that our Lord was praying to his Father, and particularly on behalf of his apostles, his disciples, those whom he would trust with the gospel of Christ to take to a lost and a dying world. He asked his Father this in these 2 verses. Verses 15 and 16, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we learn from his prayer that as children of God, we are in the world, but not of the world. As I began tonight, I want to talk about the words stranger and pilgrims that we find in a few places in the Bible that God used to describe his people. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, after talking about Abraham and Enoch, Noah, Sarah, and others in that chapter. The Bible says that they died, all died in faith, but they did not receive the promise. But they were assured, of course, that the promise would be waited on them. But it says this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. When we look at the word stranger, in this text it carries the idea of someone who lives in a place without any citizen's rights, or someone whose home is somewhere else. And that's exactly what God's people are. They are strangers in this world. But a home is somewhere else. Pilgrims, of course, carries the idea of joining. We're joining through this world, on our way to another world, to one day live in peace with our God forevermore. So strangers then and pilgrims, I think, are very appropriate terms to describe the people of God. As Christians then, we are citizens of the kingdom. And the kingdom, of course, is not of this world. Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, he said this in the book of John, chapter 18, in verse number 36. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants," he said, "would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." If Christ's kingdom, then, is not of this world, then we can conclude with a surety that its citizens would also not be of this world. And again, this is exactly what Jesus said in his prayer. Again, in verse 16 of chapter 17 of the book of John, he says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Christ's kingdom, which is Christ's church, is not an earthly institution, but it's a heavenly institution. It is a kingdom, it is a church composed of people where Christ rules as supreme in its citizens' heart through the truth of the gospel. It is also a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. It's a kingdom that cannot be moved or conquered. Jesus said when he promised to build the kingdom or build the church, Matthew 16, 18, he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Nothing in this world will prevail or stop the church. Even when it was prophesied by Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, Daniel said there that the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, but it shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Thank God tonight that the kingdom that we are citizens of, that we are members of, has no end, will not be destroyed. What a blessing it is then tonight to be members of the kingdom. And so then, being members of the kingdom, on our way somewhere else, we should not live or have the same aim as those whose citizenship is of this world. We are different people. So by the very nature then, citizens of the kingdom or members of the kingdom can never really fit in this world. They are out of step with much of society. Those of us who remember the Gomer Pyle series, how so often he would be out of step with the rest of the troops. And we would laugh at him because we saw that he just couldn't be in step. Something was wrong with him. He couldn't stay in step. Well, we are out of step with the world, but nothing is wrong with us because our loyalties lie somewhere else. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we eagerly look for a Savior, Jesus Christ." So being out of step with the world then, rather than being a sign of something being wrong with us, I think it serves as a confirmation that we are headed in the right direction. Again, Jesus said in the prayer, John 17 and verse 15, "I do not ask for you to take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one." Jesus was praying to his Father that he would protect his children from Satan. Isn't it good to know that the Lord will protect us from Satan? Thank God for the protection that Jesus gives us through his word, of course, from Satan. So Jesus prayed that God would not take us out of the world, but that he would protect us. And you know, earlier in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, he had taught that his followers were to be salt and to be light in the world. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Verse 16, which is such a familiar verse, "Let your light so therefore shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." Being light then and salt, the world then can see our good works and bring God glory or give God glory. It may be difficult at times. It may even be frustrating at times. Sometimes it may be heartbreaking. But we as Christ's people must be an example of a better land to the sick in this sin-filled world. And that is where the challenge comes in for us to truly be the light and to truly be the salt of the earth. It's a great challenge because the world with all of its enticements seemingly have so much to offer. Therefore, then, we must make a stand against Satan's entrapments. When we talk about in the world but not of the world, I'm sure we understand that the world that is being referenced is not the land, it's not the sea, it's not the sky, it's not the moon, the sun, the planets, all of these things that makes up the physical world. But the world that is being talked about is the world system of ideologies, the world system of influence and the fleshly appetites. And so often, it may even be the secular affairs, things that Satan will use to pull us away from God. And do you not know that this world, that is the world system, operates under the rule of Satan? The Bible describes Satan as being the prince of the world, the ruler of the world. Not the ruler of the star, the ruler of the moon, the ruler of the earth, but the ruler of the worldly ideologies and fleshly lusts and influence. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said this in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, he says, "And you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." He's talking about Satan. "The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh." That's that worldly system there, desires of the flesh and of the mind, "and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God," this is a powerful verse here, "but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." Thank God for the grace of God that saved us and rescued us from the prince of the air, from the power of Satan. And it was his gospel that called us and rescued us from this worldly system of ideologies and fleshly lusts and influence. It was his gospel. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, he says, "You are called by our gospel." Paul, in referencing our gospel, meant the gospel that he had gotten or had gained from Jesus Christ. I remember him talking to the Galatian Christians in Galatians chapter 1, where he made a statement there and said that what I received, I didn't receive it from the tradition of men or from men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I got the gospel, he says, from Jesus Christ. And so it was that gospel that called the Thessalonian Christians. It was the gospel that called the Roman Christians. It was the gospel that called the Corinthian Christians. It was the gospel that called the Philippian Christians. It was the gospel that called the Christians here tonight and rescued us from that worldly system. And that call of the gospel, we were called for a special purpose. As Jesus would say in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, he says, "All power, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Therefore," he said, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the age." The Lord has called us to go and call somebody else through the gospel, making them the disciples, so that they too can be rescued from this worldly system, from the enticements that Satan wants to use to snare our souls and to eventually carry our souls into damnation. Thank God for the gospel. We've been called by the gospel also to show forth God's praises, how good God is. As Peter wrote, to the Christian in his day and time. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says there, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Darkness, then, is that worldly system of ideologies. It's that worldly system of fleshly lusts and enticements. He goes on to say, "Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So tonight we ought to be so thankful that we have been called out of the world. And somebody has put it this way, and they say that we have been called out of the world to go back into the world, to call others out of the world. And I think that's a good way to put it. We are in the world, but not of the world. So while we remain in the world, we are surrounded by all of the entrapments of Satan. We are not to be like the world. How can this happen? Well, Paul said to the church at Rome that they needed to be transformed. Listen to him in Romans chapter 12 and verses number 1 and 2. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what is Paul saying? Paul says, basically, because of all of God's mercy that he has extended to us, that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto him. And he says that we should not be conformed to this world. Conform means to be like, to take the shape of. If you take water and you pour it into an irregular shaped container, it will conform itself to the shape of that container. Paul is saying, don't be like this world. Don't conform to the shape of this world, but be transformed. And the word transform means change, be different. And the word transform that we have here comes from a word from which we get our English word metamorphosis. And that word simply means to change. You think of the beautiful butterfly. Before it became that beautiful butterfly, it went through transformation. It first was a larva, then it changed into a caterpillar. Then all of a sudden, it was this beautiful butterfly. It didn't start off being beautiful, but it ends up being beautiful. We don't start off being beautiful because we came from this worldly system, the world of darkness. We were an ugly picture to God, if you will. But when we make the change, we become beautiful children of God. And so we look different then from the world from whence we have come. So Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That change, that transformation takes place at baptism. It begins with baptism. Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him in death, in baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we rise to walk in newness of life. That newness of life then is a change, showing that we have changed. It's no wonder then that Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul is talking about that transformation. A change had taken place in those Corinthians. All things have become new. Well, why is change necessary? Why is transformation necessary? It's necessary so that you and I tonight can be like Christ. Because after all, that was God's plan from the very beginning, that you and I would be like Christ. And we'll never be like Christ unless we change. Listen to Paul again. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 29. He says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Again, to be conformed means to be like. He predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. So that change then begins at baptism. And that change, that transformation continues throughout our lifetime as a child of God, as we continue to study and as we grow in Christ. No wonder Peter encouraged his hearers in his day and time. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God is concerned about his children growing. Why do we need to grow? So that we can be like Christ, so that we can be different from the world, so that we can manifest the idea of being in the world, but not of the world. However, as you and I know tonight, there, as I've already said, it's a challenge to be in this world and not of the world. Because there are so many things that can hinder us from being what God wants us to be. And Satan will use anything and everything at his disposal to pull us away from God and to keep us away from God, because that's Satan's mission, to work against God. And I say tonight, that worldliness of things of the world is the main culprit that will challenge us. And really, we have to work at it to make sure that we don't fall to the temptations of Satan. No wonder John, when he wrote in 1 John chapter 2, and verse number 15 beginning, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Again, was he talking about the beautiful flowers? No. Even not talking about looking at a beautiful sunset? No. He was talking about that worldly system of ideologies, worldly system of fleshly lusts and desires that pull us away from God. So John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. then verse 17, he says this, and the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Do we want to abide forever? Certainly we do. Therefore, we cannot be trapped into loving the world. Satan wants us to become trapped in loving the world. And so we must then really work at it to not be like the world, even though we are in the world. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian Christians, he talked to them about being worldly-minded, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he had talked about how they were aligning themselves, if you will, behind certain men or certain preachers, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the idea continues. And he says this, verse number 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as babes, or rather as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. That word carnal means worldly-minded people. He says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. They were still worldly minded. He says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? The idea here is that mere men behave like the world. It is implied in these passages that these Corinthians should have grown, because he says again, until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. So some time had passed. They had not grown. Remember I said we need to grow. The Bible says we need to grow. So these Corinthians had not grown. They were still behaving as carnal, as mere men. They were still worldly minded. Worldliness will hinder us from being different from the world. He also wrote, that is Paul, he also wrote to the Ephesian Christians not to be like people given over to worldliness. Read about that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Even he says this about Demas, one of his comrades. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So worldliness can keep us away from God and, of course, cause us not to be different from the world. We'll be just like the world. But remember, we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Worldliness can even be seen in many ways, and some of these ways are not so obvious to us. We don't necessarily look at them as being worldly-minded. One of the ways that it can be seen is where we make our priorities and we begin to worry because we don't know how we're going to do this or how we're going to do that. We don't put our confidence in the Lord. That's thinking worldly. Worldly-minded people behave like that. You remember how Jesus wrote in Matthew chapter 6 when he said to his disciples there, take no thought what you should eat, what you should wear, or what you should drink. He says, for the Lord, your Father, know that you have need of these things. He goes on and said, basically, you're behaving just like the Gentiles who did not know God. He said, basically, you're supposed to know God. So why are you concerned? Why are you worrying about this? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his righteousness. And all these things that you're worried about, the necessities of life, will be added unto you. So they were behaving just like mere men, just like worldly-minded folks. So when we worry about things, that's a sign that we are in the world, but we are still living just like the world. God doesn't want us to have that mindset. What we should do, basically, as Paul admonished the Philippian Christians, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't worry. As a song, a popular song some years ago, don't worry, be happy. Do the will of God, basically, and God will take care of you. Seek him first, again, as Jesus said, and God will take care of you. You don't have to worry. Worldly-minded people, people who think like the world, they are concerned and they are anxious, but we should not be. Don't let the devil use worry to keep us away from God. Even in the friends or the associates that we choose can be a way to keep us away from God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, he says, evil communication or evil association corrupt good morals or good manners. We need to be careful about those we associate with. Make sure that they have the same godly values that we have. If we don't, we are behaving just like worldly people. Proverb writer said this, Proverbs 22:24-25, he says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. What is he saying? Be careful who you associate with. But rather be like the psalmist when he said in Psalm 119 and verse 63, he says, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Those are the kind of people we need to look for as associates and as friends and companions. People who fear God. People who are concerned about the fact that they are in the world, but they are not of the world. Somebody said it like this, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Again, we need to be careful with who we associate with. I hope I've said something tonight that might help us as we live in this world, not to be of the world. Because again, Jesus says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Therefore, we need to put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil wants us to be like the world. Make sure that we always have the mindset that I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And that's the only way that we're going to please God, is to live our lives as he has directed for us to live. May God bless us all, and may he keep us as we are journeying through this land on our way to our heavenly home. God bless you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.